My whole squad's in here walking around the party, a cross between a zombie apocalypse and Bobby the Brain Heenan, which is probably the same reason I wrestle with Mania Shades and his bitch dumb posse to consider it.
Welcome back to the Pack a Day Radio Show on this Victory Monday, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Reminder, the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis is coming up next from 9 to 11. Wonder if they're going to have anything to talk about today. I don't know, maybe a big Badgers win on Friday against Arizona. Marquette wins against, Maryland on Friday night. Both of those games were really, really fun. You had a crazy, bizarro Mike Tyson fight. You had the Badgers football team with a very competitive game against Oregon. Then they fire their offensive coordinator yesterday. A Bucks last second loss, a Packers last second win. Just a couple things to talk about from a sports standpoint this weekend. I'm looking forward to hearing from Mason and Mitch coming up from 9 to 11. Right now, however, we are going to our good man, Ryan Wing, sports director for Fox 11 News in Green Bay. You can find him on Twitter and social media, Ryan Wing, Fox 11. Ryan, it is great to be chatting with you. How the heck are you, my friend?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on, Andy. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet. I appreciate you coming on. And just like our next show is going to have a lot to talk about from a sports standpoint, we've got a lot to talk about right now from a Packers standpoint. It's an interesting win. I mentioned at the onset, it's a little bit of a Rorschach test of, is this a tough, gritty win that they find a way? Is this one of those like disappointing wins where it's like, yeah, they won, but how do you evaluate this win for Green Bay and, you know, just finding a way to win and getting that gritty win some way that they did?
Well, you heard Matt LaFleur say it after the game. You never apologize for a victory. Unfortunately, he said that a couple times. I feel like maybe one too many for Packer fans this year.
Right.
Listen, in the grand scheme of things, all that matters is winning and getting to the playoffs. So that is all that matters. It is way better than what happened if that kick goes through the uprights. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you can't be too upset, but at the same time, I don't know if cause for concern is the right word, because I still think they're pretty good, but like, there's definitely some areas where they need to be better.
No, I think that's 1,000,000% the case. I think pass rush, I think red zone, I think two of the big ones, and just a little bit more complimentary football. That kind of went away from them. Their offense had been in a really interesting spot. They get 14 points against the Lions, and then they come in this one, and they're really struggling to put up points, only 7 points at halftime. So there's definitely things that they need to improve. But let's look at this from a positive side of things. What were some good takeaways from this game, some things that gave you reason for optimism moving forward?
Christian Watson.
Yeah,
if they can continue to do that, and we know he has the ability. It's sometimes the deep balls, the 50-50 balls, more often than not, I feel like he hasn't come down with. And that one between guys was very similar to the Jaden Reed's down there. It's kind of exactly what that throw felt like. I think that's the big one. I think the play of Brenton Cox was really impressive to see, because we had never seen him on defense, so we didn't know what he was going to do. Granted, his sack was maybe one of the easiest ones you're ever going to get. Caleb Williams turns right into you. But guess what? He didn't get fooled on the play. He didn't go for the running back. I think that's a good sign. Granted, you mentioned it. Their pass rush wasn't great until the first two plays of the final Chicago drive. But if he can give you – he looked explosive, I thought, on the field, which is impressive to see. And we knew he was good coming out of Florida. Nobody ever denied his talent. But he just really hadn't seen it yet, because obviously he'd only played special teams. So I think those are the two things that I'd be the most happy with if I was Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, I think so too. I think the Brenton Cox one is interesting. Obviously, you would have liked for either of those plays to be, you know, not unblocked plays and see a little bit more something there, but listen, we saw Enik Bari have Caleb Williams dead to rights on two different occasions and did not make either of those plays. So, You know what? You only get the opportunities that are put in front of you. You got to make the most of them. And I thought Brenton Cox did a great job of doing that. On the flip side, as you sort of mentioned, no apologies needed. You still pick up a win, but there are some reasons for concern coming out of this game. What maybe is some reasons to feel like a little bit more pessimistic coming off of this one?
I think everybody thought Green Bay's defense was pretty good, and you allow the Bears to go seven. Well, let me make sure I get this right here. On third down, 9 for 16 with an offense that had been anemic at best before they changed coordinators. And, yeah, I know they obviously changed the plan. They got the ball out of Caleb's hand as fast as possible. But it kind of looked like last year's defense a little bit at times. They were picking on Carrington Valentine on that final drive. I didn't think Xavier McKinney played his best game. Caleb had a great throw over him to Cole Kmet. DeAndre Swift made that great move on him, but it wasn't his best game, but I'm not concerned about him at all. Quay Walker is continuing the long line of Packers middle linebackers who rack up tackles 10 yards down the field.
It's not the lineage that you want, like at quarterback of Favre to Rodgers to Jordan Love. There's a lineage there of AJ Hawk to Blake Martinez to Quay Walker in there somewhere that you're just like, yeah, that there definitely is a bit of an issue there. And you're a million percent right that that 7 yards past the line of scrimmage tackle is something that this Packers team has unfortunately mastered a little bit too well. Going back to those third and fourth downs, not only 9 of 16 on third down, but the Bears were 3 of 3 on fourth down. Meanwhile, the Packers 1 of 5 on third down and 0 for 1 on fourth down. And along with the red zone offense, that's something that I think you can go right back and look at and say, that's why this game was so close. If they perform a little bit better on third and fourth down on offense and defense and better in the red zone, specifically on offense, I think this looks like a whole heck of a lot different game. And you can sort of look at those positives in a much different light if a couple of those things don't go quite as wrong. We're joined by Ryan Wing of Fox 11 News in Green Bay, the sports director. You can find him on Twitter at Ryan Wing, Fox 11, excuse me. Special teams, however, in this game, Ryan, did come up huge. They come up with a big block at the end, the punt return by Reed, the punt down inside the right around the 5 yard line by Daniel Whalen. It was finally a little bit of a coming out party for Rich Bisaccia's group.
Yeah, I know. Obviously, everybody's going to talk about Carl Brooks' play, and we'll talk about that in a bit. We've mentioned it a couple times this year. Daniel Whalen's a weapon. Like, I don't know how often people are having punter talks about, like, top punters in the NFL. Like, you're really a hardcore NFL nerd if you're having those conversations. But, like, he's had, what, maybe 2 bad punts this year? Like, every time he's out there, if you need him to drop one inside the 10, he's doing it. If you need him to boom one, he's doing it. That feels like a much different scenario, you think, come playoff time. When you have him, you have a kicker who's done it before in McManus. He wasn't needed yesterday, but those are 2 good signs. And then, obviously, the end of the game. Because I don't know about you, I thought if the Bears missed that kick, it wasn't going to be because of a block. I thought it was going to be wide left, wide right, triple doink, whatever. But I didn't have a block on my bingo card there. And great hang time by Carl Brooks. I know, like, when they showed the replay and they showed, like, the slow-mo, it seemed like he was up there forever. But he was still up there because he jumped early and still was able to hang his hand up there. So that was maybe, I think, the most impressive part.
And it's so funny because, you know, Green Bay drafts all these, like, freak super athletes. And one of the things with Carl Brooks is he wasn't that coming out of college. This is not a player who had all those crazy testing scores. He was fine. He wasn't bad by any means. But this is not one of your normal, like, super freak athletes coming out of college. But he's always just been a playmaker. Going back to college, he just found a way to get to the ball and get to the quarterback. And in this one, found a way to get the block. And that was a really, really cool play. If there's obviously something that we can be upset about in this one, this was supposed to be, Ryan, one of the better punter battles of the season. We have Torrey Taylor for Chicago, their rookie phenom, versus Daniel Whalen, the Irish assassin, and we only got 3 punts in this game. What a disappointment that was. That's why Tom Brady was in town, to call this epic punter battle, but unfortunately we were robbed of everything that we deserved in that one and only got 3 punts. So I say that in jest, of course. How about pass rush? Yeah. We get 3 sacks in this one. TJ Slayton gets the sack at the end, Rashawn Gary gets a sack at the end, and then the Brenton Cox unblocked one. It felt like they were bringing extra pressure at times, didn't always get home with that, had some opportunities for other ones. Kingsley and Igbari notably couldn't get him down a couple times. How do you evaluate the pass rush in this one?
I had thought it was going to be a repeat of the Titans game when they had 8, just because of how bad the Bears offense had been. But like we said, Caleb got the ball out really quick, so that has to be factored into it. They just didn't have as many chances to get to him because of how quick he was getting it out. So with that being said, it still wasn't great because you have 1 until the last drive. Listen, I think Aaron Nagler had a great tweet that said, you saw the Rashawn Gary stare after his sack. He goes, that was Rashawn Gary's stare after reading his Twitter.
Yeah, he probably has a little bit of pent-up frustration. I did think this was a better game from Rashawn. And again, those 2 plays at the end, one to sort of force Caleb Williams to step up into the TJ Slayton sack and then his own sack. Obviously, he would have liked it to have been a little bit better at 3rd and 19 and for the remainder of that drive. But that's not just a Rashawn Gary thing. That was the entire defense thing at that point. I want to talk about Jordan Love. It felt like, from a decision-making standpoint, Jordan had much better decision-making in this game. Unfortunately, he just had a very errant throw that went right to a Bears defender in the red zone and completely missed Tucker Kraft on the play. A interesting, bizarro sort of stat line for Jordan Love in this game. a 13-for-17 performance, but 261 yards on only 13 completions, a 15.4 yard average per attempt, one touchdown, one pick, a 113 quarterback rating. It was an efficient day outside of pretty much that one interception.
I think that's another thing that you can take away as a positive is his success with the deep ball yesterday. And that very well could be the fact that he got healthier. He probably has his legs under him a little bit better. He's able to push off, plant a little bit better. I think you could tell one of the first throws where he rolled out and was able to throw, it's like, oh, that looks like the Jordan of old. Who knows if he's 100%, but in that regard, he looked much better. But man, a pick in every single game this year, I don't know what to think about that, because like you said, that one wasn't a bad decision. That was just which maybe almost is more concerning. That was just a bad throw. I don't know. Maybe it's not as concerning. It's probably not, but that was a bad throw because he had him. It looked like it was just going to be a check down to get in field goal range, and he just sailed it.
Yeah, it's 1,000,000% that. And I think even, you know, if you look at it, you know, Tucker Kraft's going to probably get it 4 or 5 yards, you know, just short of the first down marker. And he's going to turn and get upfield. And, you know, the way that he's been breaking tackles this year, I mean, he's going to have a chance maybe to, if he breaks a tackle, to get that first down. At worst case, he's probably down a yard or two short, and maybe you have the opportunity to go for it. And instead you throw a pick, or worst case, it's just an incomplete pass. You throw it away, you know, and you take the 3 points in that situation. But just a throw that you have to make, it's disappointing that it happened. But I did think he looked better athletically, looked like the injury was much better. I thought he was efficient. I thought he was making much better decisions. Just one really bad throw, you know, sort of unfortunately taints kind of what was a really fantastic day from Jordan outside of that one play. Again, we're being joined by Ryan Wing. You can find him on Fox 11 News in Green Bay. You can find him on social media, Ryan Wing, Fox 11. All right, a couple more things before we get you out of here, Ryan. The first one, speaking of that interception, the red zone continues to be an issue for this Packers team. They have two drives that result in no points in the red zone, one with the Jordan Love pick, another where they go for it on fourth down and can't get it. Had four shots inside the 8-yard line on that one, could not get the job done. Why does this continue to be an issue, and what do they need to kind of clean up in order to make this something that can be more efficient for them moving forward?
Well, let me talk about the fourth down one. In the moment, I thought that was a really strange decision by Matt LaFleur to go for it. And I had a thought in my head, does he have the Tampa Bay game, the NFC Championship game in his head when everybody was knocking him for kicking the field goal? Because, like, but this was like 6 yards out, and they had shown really no flashes on that three plays before that to get it done. It's like, kick the field goal, trust your defense against an offense that still isn't great. I was surprised by that. I think one thing they can do better in the red zone is rely on Josh Jacobs. He's been really good. The touchdown run was blocked up beautifully. I don't think he was touched. I thought the 2-point conversion to run east-west was a little surprising because he hasn't had as much success that way. He's had way more success running between the guards, I feel like. So I think lean on Josh more when it gets to the red zone. And everybody knows that it's harder when you get in the red zone, obviously, because the field's condensed. But he's really good at getting tough yards. I think they could lean on him a little bit more.
Yeah, I didn't hate the fourth down decision. I can understand taking the points and trying to hold a bad Bears offense in check and go down and try to kick a field goal maybe for the win in that situation. I don't ever really mind a coach being aggressive in that situation, sure. But the play calling down there definitely had a little bit to be desired, and I agree with you. I think Josh Jacobs has to be a focal point when you get down there, although they did give it to him a couple other times and on the 2-point conversion, and they didn't have success with that either. I do think it comes down to first being a little bit more physical in that area where the touchdown run that you mentioned is a phenomenal example of that, where they block it up well and you get an easy touchdown run for Josh Jacobs. And yeah, when you don't block it as well, whether it's on the Jaden Reed end around or whether it's the Josh Jacobs on a couple of his runs, it's not going to look as good. But I think they have to find a way to be much more efficient, or we're going to continue to get these drives that result in fewer points than what they should get, and that can definitely cost you come playoff time. And speaking of playoff time, Ryan, it's not quite playoff time yet, but Packers 49ers has that big fight feel. I know the 49ers haven't exactly been the juggernaut 49ers. They lose again yesterday to Seattle, and it's probably going to make San Francisco a little bit more desperate going into this game. What are your initial thoughts of Packers 49ers going into week 12 already, which is crazy to say?
Yeah, it really is. It doesn't seem like early on that Nick Bosa is going to play. It sounds like he either re-injured or has a new injury, according to Kyle Shanahan, so that's a plus. But Green Bay's offensive line has probably been, their pass blocking has probably been one of the strengths of this team this year. I think Jordan is either the least sacked quarterback in the NFL are definitely up there. So I wouldn't be as concerned. Obviously, the 49ers have a really good defense. But like you said, they're not last year's 49ers. And I think everybody's just waiting for them to get there because obviously they're getting McCaffrey back and Debo and Kittle was out last week. I just don't know if they're going to get there. I don't know what it is with this 49ers team. Like, Seattle's good, but Seattle hasn't been great this year, and they couldn't put them away yesterday.
No, they really couldn't. It was sort of jarring to see. And this is a 5-5 49ers team. All right, let me ask you this. Per the Potawatomi Sportsbook, I don't know if you've seen it yet. Do you have a guess as to what the line is, the opening line is for this game?
I haven't seen it yet. Well, the Packers are a public play, so you would think people would be on them. But the 49ers kind of are too. I'm going to say Green Bay -3.
It is Green Bay -1.5 to open this game in Green Bay. Lambeau Field right now projected weather 42 and sunny in a November matchup at Lambeau Field. It should be a phenomenal game. Ryan, I know you'll be there. Tell us where we can find all of your incredible work and what's cooking at Fox 11 this week.
Yeah, like you said on Twitter, Ryan Wing, Fox 11. This week, obviously, Packers leading up to 49ers, but it's a big week high school-wise. State football championships are this week, so we have three teams from our area playing for gold balls, Wrightstown in Division 5, Notre Dame in Division 3, Bayport in Division 1, so we'll be previewing those games. So those will be fun to watch, so looking forward to that. And then obviously, that's really the big stuff this week. There's obviously college basketball, like you said, getting into full swing. Luke Fickell's going to talk today. It'll be interesting to hear what he has to say about getting rid of Phil Longo, so...
It very much will be. I'm very much going to be tuning in for that as well. Ryan, you're the absolute best. Again, make sure to follow him on Twitter at RyanWingFox11. When we come back, we'll be going to the phone. So get those phone calls into the Nicolay Law Fan Talk and Text Line 414-677-1250. This is the Pack-A-Day Radio Show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.